podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time today. Whatever it means for you in your club, we'll talk about that later.
Welcome to episode 96 of the We'll Talk About That Later podcast about football. Before we start, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at WTATL Official and subscribe and follow on your listening platforms. How are you guys doing?
Hey.
I'm fantastic.
I like that little clip.
Energy gang.
Don't think you are you, Junior?
I'm fine. I'm ready to pod.
You're ready to pod, yeah?
Yeah. Gang. Come on.
Junior's at death's door, by the way.
He is,
according
guys,
to Abdi,
he
but is. I'm fine. Little round of applause for Abdi being back.
Way.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you're getting.
Yeah. Last week's episode was so good that I wasn't on it.
Yeah, I was just saying Abdi's before, words. We need to make that a trend, you know, I think.
Once a month.
Look at this girl, man. She comes into a podcast late and then she wants to tell me to leave.
Fashionably late.
No, I mean, you joined this podcast. Oh, by the way, yeah, also, it is 2 years. This is the official 2 year anniversary. So big up to everyone. And you joined this podcast about a month or so after we did it. And now you want to kick me out.
Yeah, pretty much.
Cool. Fair enough.
Well, now that we're all on the same page, Mark, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm here.
Oh, can I cut in quickly? Yeah.
Hold on.
I want to address something.
Listen, you can cut in.
Mm-hmm. We've got buttons.
But what's going on here? Because you gave me a certain look when you said, can I
No, it's not even to you, to be honest. Right, but cool, good. Can we stop this nonsense about lying about why I wasn't here last week? So what Junior nonsense? Told everyone apparently I was on a date, which is the biggest lie ever.
Danielle.
And I got a message from one of my friends saying, oh, who's Danielle? And I'm like,
yeah, it's my brother.
Stop this. If you're going to make up lies about me, I'll make up lies about all of you.
Listen, I just haven't exposed
Junior, Junior does cocaine. Tanya has been arrested 6 times.
What?
And Mark sells crack. So yeah.
Right, can I ask you one thing then?
What?
What's Danielle's middle name?
No, I've got a serious question. Mm. What pizza would you recommend?
Shut up, bro. What is nonsense, bro? I asked Mark about a pizza spot once, and now apparently I took Danielle, who's my friend Daniel, who's a guy who Junior's met.
Listen, we know that's Danielle is an alias for
it's
girl
code.
Who shall remain unnamed.
All right, whatever, innit?
Abdi's love life is nothing but
if you
want to
buy cocaine, so message Junior on Instagram.
I thought I did cocaine.
Yeah,
I thought Mark said your stories aren't matching up.
Yeah, you got hard crack cocaine.
Message Mark on Instagram.
Hard crack cocaine.
Man interjected to kind of...
lie.
To come in and brush over what happened last week, but you just made it worse for yourself.
Yeah, fair.
But at least people know the truth, innit?
No. You know how bad it sounds from you right now. Like it sounds like you're desperately trying.
You're talking about how bad it sounds for me. I'm not the one who got arrested 6 times. Talk to her, man.
Why? Listen. If I was arrested, you'd know about it. Celebrity,
drunk and disorderly,
that.
Public being fighting. She's
calling herself a celebrity now. This is the level we've
buying
reached.
Crack from Mark.
Oh shit!
Allegedly.
Mark, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
We didn't even get to that point.
I'm good. Obviously, I got my second hustle that Abdi's just exposed, but aside from that, I'm good. But we're here to talk football,
do,
so
whatever you
got to do. But let's talk.
I thought this was your second hustle.
This is number three. Hustle number three.
Mad.
Okay. No, but there's been some. Well, I don't even think big is the right word. To
this is historic.
Historic. Mm-hmm. Historic news, and I think it just. I mean, everyone knew it was coming out. Everyone knew that kind of knew this was happening for the past couple of days. But officially,
yep.
Who wants to do the honors?
Lionel Messi joined Barcelona. Joined PSG from Barcelona.
Mad.
I never Absolutely thought in my mad. Lifetime I'd ever see him play for another team.
Yeah, same.
No.
I thought he might go back to Argentina when he's like
new or old boys or something like that. Play for those teams, but
those teams
or that whatever in any Argentinian team. What is the right word? Is it Argentine? Argentinian?
Argentine.
Whatever in it. But yeah, so monumental news. What the reason was? Obviously, it was La Liga who said he can't stay.
Yeah, so La Liga set up a contract for Barcelona to sign, which is to negate the Super League, and Barcelona rejected.
Well, I heard it was you can't have your wage bill 70% of
is.
Your annual earnings.
But it is part of that. Mm. But part of that was La Liga had set up this contract for Real Madrid and Barcelona to sign, and both have rejected. So once Barcelona cleared a lot of their wage bill and they got Messi down to whatever they got Messi down to, they were like, can you sign this? And Barcelona were like, no.
Mm. But they didn't actually get rid of a lot of their wage bill. You mentioned the...
Yeah.
Is it putting you under pressure to kind of elaborate on what you said about the 70%?
Well, I mean, that's it. So, like, Barcelona's wage bill is ridiculous. Like, Griezmann's on 800k a week or something like that.
They've got to get it... They have to get it down to... That's a bit of an exaggeration.
Well, that's what I read.
They've got to get it down to 70%. And I think at the moment, it's on, like, 95, 96%, which is...
Real Madrid are the same, by the way.
Unbelievable.
Have they still not officially, like, signed Depay and Aguero? Or have they?
Well, Depay played in the preseason game.
But Aguero, Eric Garcia and some other don have not...
Wow.
Yeah, Aguero is injured anyway now as well.
For 10
yeah,
weeks.
He is injured.
Man's trying to get back to England.
Jesus.
But what does this mean for Barcelona?
I think, you know what, it's just desserts, isn't it? You go acting the way that you're acting, trying to, you know, just buy your way to success. And I was reading something that, you know, like I thought made a lot of sense. Like Barcelona were spending so much money without a plan. They were just buying like really good, like, really good players like Griezmann, Dembele and stuff, but Coutinho. None of them really suited a system that they play. And then, like, the result is that you lose the world's greatest ever player.
Yeah.
It's weird because when you think of Barca, you think they're not the type of team to go out and buy. The three players you just mentioned, Dembele, Griezmann, Coutinho, what, about 300 million? When you add those three transfer fees together.
Plus, Barca, 300 million plus.
And I know they were 300 million plus, and I know they were in different windows and stuff like that, but when you used to think of Barca, that's not the Barca
it's the academy,
isn't
it?
No, it's the academy. Mm-hmm. You kind of build your team around the amazing talent coming through the academy, and then you buy around that. So where are you lacking less kind of strength in these areas? But our main source of players will be the academy. That's not happening so much at Barca anymore. I know they've got Pedri coming through.
No, Pedri came from some other Spanish team.
I know, but they would have. Was that recent or?
Yeah, it was like 2020.
2020, okay, cool. But he's still young and might not be directly from the academy, but they've still got younger players. Ansu Fati and a couple more. But when you think of Barca, like I said, it's just that it seems like the whole philosophy of that club has just...
died.
It's true.
Died out. And it's a shame to see, to be honest.
Is it 1 billion since Neymar?
Yeah, do you know... from 1998 to 2004, Barcelona barely spent anything, whilst Real Madrid was racking up buying the Galacticos, And then the reason they did that is because they were building the academy. And then in that academy, they brought the best group of players that's ever existed all together. Xavi, Iniesta, Messi, Busquets, all of that. But PK, Fabregas.
In the late 2000s, they had a presidency change.
Yeah.
And Bartomeu, whatever his name is.
Who's at Man City now, Chicky Bergenstein. Then from then on, like when they had Raul Senelli, who was at Arsenal, he was the one who bought Dembele for 130 mil. And then from there, when he left, and then that culture continued. And buying those three players as well, like, what's his name? Griezmann for 100 plus, Coutinho for 100 plus. It's nonsense.
Not even just that, but like, you're buying Semedo for 30 million. You're buying Matthew and Vermaelen for 25 million each. And you're buying like fringe players for a lot of money.
MTT.
Lenglet. You got like a... Well, this is... I can't remember. Silicone. I don't actually know what age he is, but you've got like a 38, 39-year-old PK keeping Umtiti and players like Lenglet out of that team.
But also like the dodgy, fraudulent deals with like... the swap with the Valencia keeper and then the Pjanic Arthur swap as well, which is
money laundering.
Yeah, 100% is money. That is not needs to be investigated.
The Neymar deal, as it is, was when they signed Neymar from Santos, like 40 million or so went to his dad. Just so.
That's mad.
And going back to the Pjanic Arthur swap deal, is it like they barely
Pjanic hasn't barely
played, and they want rid of him already.
They
and it's
told
like
him this season that he could go,
and it didn't make sense anyway because you're giving like a young 23-year-old real talent got enough talent to really make it to the top of the game. You're giving him away, and you know you're getting a 29, 30-year-old Pjanic in return.
But I don't get what that deal was about.
Well, that's the problem here is that Barca run so far into the ground that's how they managed to keep themselves afloat with kind of dodgy deals like that, and you know, It's an open-ended question.
I have no sympathy.
Yeah, me neither. La Liga is in the mud.
La Liga's in the bin. Fully in the bin. I'm gonna put this out there. I think pretty much every league, including the French league with Messi, is in the bin, other than the Premier League. Most other leagues are in the bin at the moment, I'm going to be honest. I truly feel that.
Well, you see what's happened with Inter as well.
Inter having to sell all their players.
That's going to go back to Juventus walking it.
How on earth have PSG managed to get Real Madrid and Barcelona's captains on a free?
No, but do you know what? Yeah, with PSG, I said this, a front three of Messi, Neymar and Mbappe.
I say it right now. They're not winning the Champions League. They're gonna bottle it again. I say it right now.
If Poch actually has to be in handcuffs,
they're not winning the Champions League. If they don't do a quadruple, 100 points as well.
I think he's a bit on thin ice, to be honest. Because didn't they lose a cup game?
Well, they lost the league to Lille last season.
Yeah, they lost the league. The league. Didn't they lose a cup game the other day?
Oh, it was the French version of the Community Shield.
Yeah, they lost it.
But they won their first game.
Glorified friendly, yeah.
Hakimi scored on his debut.
Yeah, Hakimi scored.
What a goal, what a goal.
But if you look at their team now as well, I was looking at it and I was just like, oh my God, the depth is mad now.
It is crazy.
Back, well, Donnarumma and Navas, two top goalkeepers, yeah. Back four, you could have Hakimi, you can have Dagba, right back. You can have centre backs Ramos, Kimpembe, Marquinhos, Diallo, Kehrer. Left back Kazawa, Bernat. Midfield, you got Danilo, Herrera. You got Paredes, Idrissa Gueye. You got Wijnaldum, Verratti. In the front areas, you got the best group of forwards history.
Well, you've got those three:
Draxler, you got Sarabia, you got Icardi. Neymar, Mbappe, Icardi,
Di Maria.
No, they got to win it. Oh my God, that team!
Yeah, if they don't win Champions League, then Poch. I don't know it might just not be the Tottenham DNA. It might be a Poch thing as well.
But do you not think we kind of come out every season and think, this team should be winning it? And recently, like last it 5-10 years, like that, yeah. it doesn't really work like that. No one would have said Chelsea are going to win that last season.
Can I ask you a lot of question?
Yeah.
Do you think Poch can handle all those big names?
No, I don't think so. You know,
he's from the same country as Messi.
I was going to say what will help is that Argentinian connection with Di Maria, Messi, Icardi. I think that's the three.
He needs to
get away from this Icardi stuff, bro. He's not going to touch. He's not going to touch the pitch.
But he started and scored literally just on the weekend.
Yeah, but Messi's not landed. Neymar still on holiday, isn't it? So,
yeah, I just think it's probably Poch's biggest season as a football manager.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
100%. He's been fully bats now.
But he's got no reason not to. Like, not aside from Messi, like, you got top centre back in Ramos. You got one of the best right backs in the world in Hakimi. You got one of the best goalkeepers
but
in the world.
But you know what
as well.
It is?
Well, Wijnaldum, again, another top player. Like, you shouldn't, even without Messi, they should be definitely like.
His in-game management is so poor, though. Like, when we think back to the Champions League last season, I think his like late substitutions. That, in a way, cost them.
But he wasn't your manager last season, and you weren't in the Champions League last season.
Yeah, they were.
PSG.
Talking about PSG.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Tottenham.
No.
I think the City game kind of ran away from him.
But still.
And it is City as well.
Yeah, and they have top quality players. So,
be interesting, though.
So, Mark's already said that he doesn't think PSG are winning Champions League. Abdi?
Yeah, I'm going to back him.
Yeah, I am. I'm backing. That's my team. Obviously, Spurs is my number one.
Because I don't know who else. Like, obviously, the English teams will come strong.
I think, with all my heart, I think an English team's winning it again this season.
Really?
You say really? Names. You say really? Names. Like, I think any one of the four has enough to win it. I'm being dead serious. I'd maybe take United out of that. But in terms of just looking at their squad, you'd have to say they've got enough quality to get quite far in the tournament.
If they get a DM.
And then, I think the other three who are in the Champions League, Liverpool, City, Chelsea, all three I think have got big chance to win.
Would you say they all got a better chance than PSG?
Yeah.
I don't know about better chance, but listen, away goals have been scrapped. It's going to be a slightly different tournament this year.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
And I just think,
yeah.
I just think, I don't think they've got it in them. I seriously, and I said this to a couple of people earlier, I think PSG, they don't win it. They get knocked out in the quarters or the semis. I think City get knocked out surprisingly early. These are just bold shouts. They're not.
Yeah. Early shouts.
Too. Early shouts as well. But I don't think either of those two teams. Hot takes.
Can I just say one thing though?
But let me just say my last thing about PSG is that you got to think they're going to be integrating. When you think of what what is their full strength 11 now? It will include new players. Ramos, Donnarumma, Hakimi, Wijnaldum, Messi. Wow. It's not easy to fit five new players into a team and just think that everything's going to be cushy and work well.
Messi, you know.
But I will say this, they've got five players who are all going to probably be in the start 11 that have won the Champions League, and yeah. two, Messi and Ramos, who are serial winners of Champions League. You've got Di Maria's won Champions League, Wijnaldum's won Champions League, Neymar's won Champions League. So there's more experience in terms of Champions League. You've got a manager who's been to the Champions League final. But like in the same way as well, like you saying they might bottle it. You can say the same thing about Man City. Man City went to the final and bottled it. Man City have bottled it on multiple occasions when they've looked like
they're
the favourites.
I just said they're the two teams who I think are going to... I don't think either of those teams are going to win.
Oh, sorry, I missed that part. Like, I was waiting for my point.
So you're going for Chelsea or Liverpool?
No, I'm going for... I think an English team will win it, and I think City have more of a chance of winning it than PSG. But like I said, and I'll stick to this. Honestly, I will stick to this all season, and I'm so happy to bite my words, because the further those two teams get in the tournament, it's clear the better the tournament's going to be. It's quality players, but
I don't even think you can call Champions League, you know. You just don't know. Because I didn't think Chelsea was going to win it, to be honest with you. I know they've got a very good squad, but we never thought they were going to win the Champions League.
At the start of the season, when you're picking out teams, not one single soul would have said Chelsea, unless maybe you're a Chelsea fan.
Mm-hmm. Didn't we all say Bayern or a PSG, I think, to win the Champions League last year? I can't remember, but Chelsea was not in
there.
So,
I think I said PSG last year as well, so...
I'm going for PSG. I just think when you hear those names, it's scary.
It's the Messi thing for me, isn't it? Yeah,
Messi thing. Oof.
And Messi said that he's desperate to win the Champions League.
Yeah, Messi, and it's not Messi playing with set eight. He's actually playing with Mano.
It's obviously a stupidly good point. Like, Messi has been playing with
set eight
recently at Barca. But yeah, like I said, I see PSG walking that league with absolute ease, and obviously that's one of the pluses for PSG going into this season, is that they can play players like Icardi, Di Maria, players who won't necessarily start when PSG go full strength, which will be Neymar, Mbappe, Messi, three in midfield probably, or two in midfield and five at the back. Poch seems to be liking at the moment.
I think it's because of Hakimi, isn't it?
But I just think. Yeah, you've got so much depth, and players like Icardi, Di Maria, all of these players who would make it into any team in the French league.
Yeah, Di Maria.
Sarabia's a good player. They can play those players in the league and the cup when they need to rest players for Champions League and still win the game.
Neymar can go to his sister's birthday.
Neymar can actually go to the birthday this year because they've got the depth.
Do you think we'll ever see Barcelona back to Barcelona of 2009?
Nope. Well, no, that's like the craziest team. 2009 to 2012 is probably the best team that's ever been.
Do you think Barcelona will ever come back to the levels that we're used to?
I wouldn't rule it out, because you know when Real Madrid lost Ronaldo, they did end up winning the league. Maybe not right after, but I think the year after as well. So without Ronaldo, they do. So they probably will need somebody to step
but
up.
We're talking about a Barcelona team who are dominant. Like, is falling to pieces.
Madrid still had some in reserve even when Ronny left.
I mean, I do look at the squad and I do think if they're at full strength, they're not that bad. I watched a bit of their game. Barcelona, yeah. So like, I'm not talking about the back, but in midfield, if you've got guys like De Jong and Pedri,
they're going to suffer. Busquets,
and then up front, they've got Depay, who's got. I watched them against Juve a little bit. Yeah, they won 3-0, but they look quite good. They've got this guy in midfield called Demir. Like, is he another youth? And he's really good. And then obviously, if you do a front three of Depay, Griezmann and Aguero, there's worse front threes, you know. It's not that bad.
It's going back, man.
It is obviously. I mean, losing Messi is obviously going to hurt everyone. But it's just the way the club is run, that's the thing.
Plus, they're still trying to get rid of players because they still can't announce Aguero and Eric Garcia.
Yeah, I think they're in big, big trouble. Shout out Jose, or not.
They should be looking for the receipt on Eric Garcia, man.
Oh, okay. All right, let's move on. So last week's podcast ended with Tanya going, "I hope Man City don't sign Kane or Grealish," and then Grealish signed. 100 million.
I'm sorry, massively overpriced, in my opinion. I love Jack Grealish. I think he's a talent, but to be honest, for me, I think he's worth about 60, 70. But 100 million, that is pushing it. But I understand it's the market now. He's young, English tax and whatnot. Absolutely brilliant signing. But for me, I do think they should have prioritised a strike. I know they're still going to do that, but that would have been first on my list. If
but
I
Pep
was
don't
sitting.
Like strikers. So.
I know, but it's I'm going to take it back to something. Do they need him? I don't know.
I'm going to take it back to something Abdi said, I don't know, ages ago. Sometimes he says some things that, you know, make sense.
Makes sense, I know.
You're saying you're going back 15 episodes.
No, I'm going back, what episode, 96?
2 years ago.
We're going back to like 90 episodes. He said something like, a player is worth what the team is willing to play pay for him.
I understand.
So, like, if Villa say we're not selling Jack Grealish for 60, 70 million and City go and slam 100 million.
Well, it was
on
in
the
his
table.
Release clause, wasn't it? 100 million.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but so that's what I'm saying. Like, because even if a player has a release clause, clubs can still negotiate.
Yeah.
But Villa were like, we're not selling.
It's not like Grealish. He's not played Champions League football or European football. Mm-hmm. He's had how many seasons in the Premier League? Two? Is it two?
Well, technically three.
He used to play. Well, he did play in the Premier League before when he was young. Yeah, so
that's why I'm just like 100. It is a bit steep.
It's definitely steep. 100%. There's no doubt about it. But I mean, it was in his contract. He signed a 5-year deal last year, yeah. And Aston Villa are only going to part with him if they got serious money, yeah. Which they did. So, I can understand Aston Villa's point of view, but yeah. I don't understand from Man City's point of view because although he's a top player, and you can't. I sort of get it from like the fact that you can't turn your nose up at a top player like him, but. You know, it's not a necessity, like Tanya said. And although I do think there is some sort of guarantee for him to be starting because 100 million, he's got the number 10 shirt now. Mm. But he's not, Man City were not crying out for him. I think they just bought him because just so someone else doesn't have him.
I just feel like Pep loves those kind of players. And if we go back, like, he doesn't seem to like classic strikers, like classic number nines.
I mean, it seems to work for them, so...
Well, they had Aguero, no?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is like, usually, you know, top teams will have, like... Mm. I don't know, like, Pep will sometimes be like, you know what, Aguero, sit out, and then he'll play, like...
A false nine,
or, like, even at Barcelona, sometimes he didn't sign a striker, and he just put Messi in that false nine. I get it, it's Messi, but...
Yeah,
like...
He actually played Fabregas there a couple of times at Barca as well, didn't
100%,
he?
100%, yeah. So I just, it doesn't seem to me that Pep really, in his philosophy, necessitates a classic number nine. So which is why I'm not surprised that he did opt for Grealish over Kane.
But he did say after in the post-match interview, he said, I'm still interested in Kane. So I wouldn't rule that out.
It's weird.
Even if it happens in January, I still think he'll probably...
I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but I'm just saying that's why I believe that he signed Grealish over Kane. Like
first.
Or you could just say Greenish was, I guess, the easier of the two deals. Yeah, definitely. Therefore, it's just the one that would have got done.
Anyone would choose to talk to the Aston Villa owner over Daniel Levy.
Yeah, exactly.
If you could avoid a conversation with Daniel Levy,
big up Aston Villa and I think it was their chairman or their owners in that video. I mean, we're never going to get that from Daniel Levy, but I think. It says a lot. That's how proper clubs are run. Do you know what I mean? I think it's good that they've actually said, you know what, we're going to take the 100 mil. And it seems like, I don't know if this is true or not, but they've obviously got that money already and they've spent it on the likes of Leon Bailey, Buendia. They've made some really good signings. Well,
yeah, Danny Ings
now out of the blue. Yeah, like, where did that come from?
Southampton are such mugs. I was ready to come here to cuss out Aston Villa because, firstly, they're taking a piss with some of the bids. Yeah, how on earth can you bid 25 million for Ward-Prowse? He's Southampton's captain. And he's 26, and he's there. Yeah, he's basically their main man.
How
on earth are you going to pay? And he's English. How on earth are you going to bid 25 million? Should have been laughed out of the room.
25 million for their top scorer. And
Danny Ings he's not got much left on his deal, and he's 28. I thought Southampton are mugs for accepting 30 mil. But like, and then they bid as well 25 million for Emile Smith Rowe. Like, don't take the piss, innit? But like, they the Danny Ings one that came out of nowhere as well. But I think obviously they've done really well in the market. But going back to Grealish, yeah. Do you think that he will be like me? Do you think he's a guaranteed starter for Man City? Because at the moment, they're first choice wide players are Mahrez and Sterling. So
Sterling.
Well, not even Sterling. Foden and Mahrez, I guess.
It's Foden and Mahrez. Foden and KDB confirmed to miss the start of the season.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, at their best,
That's the problem. It's almost like he's got too many options at this point.
Must be nice.
Gundogan always starts.
Gundogan will not start in any of those attacking positions.
Well, I mean,
anymore.
Just generally, like they play with one pivot.
Gundogan and Rodri, probably.
Gundogan and Wood, Rodri, I guess so. If they sign a striker, then Harry Kane will always start.
But surely, when you go to City, I feel like no one's a guaranteed start.
Yeah, it's true.
Listen, when you spend, if you spend £100 million on one player, it almost has to be guaranteed to start. Otherwise, you're literally saying to everyone, "This is how we value our money. We're going to spend £100 million player on someone we don't even guarantee as a weekly starter." And I know it's not easy. Like, it's not as easy as walking into a club and saying, "I'm now starting every week. I'm your number one left winger or cam." But £100 million outlay, it's got to be.
Yeah.
It has to be. And
De Bruyne will start,
will start. And I think it will just be Grealish, KDB and Foden when he's fit. But it will be Mahrez for the start of the season on the right.
Mahrez has looked good in pre-season, man.
Yeah. What does this mean for Sterling and Bernardo?
Ferran Torres.
Before the Euros.
Ferran Torres can play as a number
Bernardo.
Nine.
Did you see Ndidi body him?
Yeah.
Oh, that was rude.
I didn't see that game. I was out, but... like a good game.
And there was.
No, thanks.
Ferran Torres, Jesus.
He's still young. Ferran Torres is like 20 years old. So.
Yeah, I know he's young, but someone's going to have to leave it. It looks like it's going to be Bernardo. But I'm telling you now, it would not shock me to see Sterling leave either, because who is Sterling starting over at this point?
I can't see. He will get into other teams, but how much is he worth? Sterling,
right? He's still in the peak of his career.
He's 27.
Right now.
He's obviously one of the. I think Sterling is one of the top players in the Premier League. Like,
that's what I mean. I think he
retains his value. Yeah.
Before the Euros, I'd have been like, all right, Sterling's definitely on the bench. Grealish is starting ahead of him, especially on the left. But after Euros, the way Sterling stepped up, put the country on his back at times. But like, I wouldn't be surprised if they go into, they have, at their best, they'll probably have Grealish on the left, Kane down the middle, and Sterling on the right. Like the England front three that they turn to quite a lot.
Yeah, I could agree with that. Then it's just a shame for talents like Foden, who's worked so hard and it looked like he worked his way into that team, to just now kind of have to come back out because another big signing's come in.
Yeah.
But I want to touch on what you were saying, Mark, because I do think some players need to be offloaded. I reckon they're going to come back with another offer and offer Tottenham potentially like a Jesus. Like, I'm seeing those rumours heat up a little bit. Laporte said potentially, but I can't see that. I think that would just strengthen another rival, especially us, if we've got like Laporte and Romero but at the back.
I don't think that's the issue though. Like, I don't think it makes sense for City to offer Laporte or Jesus. I think the issues are,
if they want Kane that badly,
the issues would be them offering Sterling or Bernardo Silva. It makes more sense to me because those are the positions they are heavy on.
I watched the Community Shield, and he's probably on the phone to Newcastle shipping Nathan Ake on loan, because especially after what he just did.
But that's what I'm saying.
That's why he can't afford to get rid of Laporte.
That's another 40
million.
That's
what I was saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, you get rid of Laporte and then you're stuck with Ake as a backup.
They better not offer us Ake. Goodbye.
Listen, I know it hasn't gone well for him, but Ake, there's a player in there.
Yeah.
Definitely a player.
He's very good at ball.
No, thank you.
He's very good at ball.
He's 5'10" centre back, so he's a bit of a...
Pep didn't know that when he signed him.
Nah, he didn't. He's like, oh, wow, you're short of me, bro. But like, go back to the attacking situation. Bernardo said he wants to leave.
Bernardo has to leave at this point. He has to leave at this point.
In a heart.
Well, yeah.
I'm not listening. I'm not going into that. But if I'm Bernardo, it's got to be a champion team playing Champions League football. Otherwise, it's just a step down.
A lot of
lifting up that bin at the end of the season.
Yeah, come on. When is he ever going to lift?
It's called the UCL anyway. So yeah.
We're
in the UCL. Yeah, don't tell him what it means. Yeah.
But why does it need to? I get what you're saying. A player of his caliber, but if he's not guaranteed to be starting at City. No, he would start at Spurs or at Arsenal even.
I know he would start, but at the end of the day, for a player of his quality, if he really is on the market like that, there will be teams in the Champions League who definitely will go for him, such as I'm seeing rumours about Atletico Madrid and things like that. And then when you've got that out on a plate in front of you, right?
I don't think Atletico got the money though.
I know, but as an example, majority of the time, unless he really wants to stay in England, mm-hmm. then
Dortmund have money.
Yeah, I guess most teams don't have money. I think like if you're going to get the big signings, really, they're only going to come to the Premier League. You know, well, if he's going to move, I think he's going to stay within the Premier League. The only thing you can do, if you're not in the Champions League, to attract a player of Bernardo's quality, is throw the bag at him. And Tottenham don't do that. Yeah. Arsenal throw silly wages at guys who are 10 years older than Bernardo. So it doesn't. Really, but it's interesting that Bernardo says he wants to leave, which I think is good. It shows he's got good character in terms of actually wanting playing time, because a lot of these players, even though they're not playing a lot, they'll want to stay because they know that Man City are going to be competing for trophies, you know, and like the potential to get a Champions League winner's medal or another league winner's medal. That's why probably guys like Laporte will probably stay, even though he knows he's not going to start a lot. So,
which segue on to Stones getting a new deal, $250,000 a week. What is money to City?
That's a £65 million. Pound contract over 5 years. Mad.
To answer your question, money to City is just a joke. It's a bit of fun, really, isn't it?
It's that Monopoly money, isn't it?
You know, that puts him on, more than any Liverpool player in the squad. I don't know how much Arsenal are paying Aubameyang, but more than, I think he gets a basic out in terms of bonuses. Of course, so more than 95% of probably every squad in the league.
Yeah.
And City are just out here. It's crazy. And obviously, it's good for John Stones. And like you said in the group chat, good, secure the bag. But I don't think to be fair, maybe his agent did approach and say that we want 200k plus. But for me, it just seems crazy that half of their squad, probably more, is on more money than probably most players in the whole league.
I probably don't think anyone, maybe Nathan Ake, but I don't think anyone is on less than 100k a week.
I'm telling you right now, guaranteed he's on at least 100k. A week.
Who, Ake? Yeah, probably. 40 million?
I guess so, yeah. He's probably on like 20k a week on Bournemouth, innit?
So Leicester won the Community Shield.
Congratulations.
Was it a good game? Because I did not.
I mean, it was a game of not many chances.
Not many chances.
When you've been bored of football, club football, I just think it's just an enjoyment just to have it back anyway.
Marcus desperate, obviously.
Absolutely desperate. Like I said, all this chat about my brain being in the off season, not anymore.
Not anymore.
No, I'm switched on. I'm back.
All right. Abdi kind of alluded to it, but what did we think of Ake's performance? And if you're trying to make a statement as like, boss, you can depend on me.
Let's be nice about this, because technically that was still a preseason game for City and they're still in preseason. So let's be nice and give him the benefit of the doubt. But
I think
you just alluded to a good point. I don't think he done much to say to Pep, look, you can let Laporte go. I'm good enough to be your number three. I don't think he really done enough to say that.
Or Mendy either as well. Mendy, he's not a serious guy.
I mean, Mendy's been a liability.
Not a serious guy. Like, you can't really rely on a guy like that. He's just not serious about his football.
I'm happy for Iheanacho, though.
Yeah.
Sorry. All right.
Excuse me, sorry.
Sean Dyche was happy.
All right.
Sean Dyche is back.
They started with Vardy, and Iheanacho and Daka were both.
Can I ask a quick question? And I'm not just basing this off the Community Shield. I'm basing this off the whole of last season and the back end of the season before. Is it time for Leicester to stop relying on Jamie Vardy like they have done? And obviously relying on him how they have done has paid off, because he's been an amazing player for them. Mm-hmm. But I watched him in the Community Shield, and particularly in the second half of last season, it just looked like that Jamie Vardy is no longer there. Yeah. Is it time for them to start saying, you know what, we're going to slowly start to phase you out and go with Iheanacho and Daka?
Yeah, now they can do that. I would phase him out. Because how old is he? What?
34.
I think he's one of those players where age hasn't really hindered him, but it looks like it is starting to kind of...
I mean, that groin injury where, like, you come back after 2 weeks. Like, not even injury, sorry, surgery.
Yeah.
Man just popped back 2 weeks in sprinting. I don't know. I think that
I'd be asking questions, you know.
Because, like, he was...
Where are the needles?
At the beginning of the season, he started well. And then when he had that injury and the surgery, and he just didn't look like himself, like what Mark was saying, you didn't see the usual runs, the hounding of defenders, and...
I guess Jamie Vardy, that's sort of, like, prompted the signing of Daka. Daka, yeah. who's a similar profile player.
Such a good signing.
But Iheanacho as well, like, it's not just the fact that obviously Jamie Vardy seems like he's waning a little bit, but you've got a really hungry forward in Daka who looks like he's going to do some stuff, but also you've got Iheanacho as well, who stepped up massively. And now Iheanacho looks at himself as, I'm the main source of goals in this team.
Well, I was going to, that's what my next question was going to be. So obviously this isn't an exact fact, but it's around about this mark. I think in his last 18 games of the season, I'm talking about Iheanacho, I think he bagged like 15
yeah.
or something like that, and to me that screams I've worked my way into this team. So I do feel he would have been a bit disappointed not to start on the weekend just gone.
Saturday.
But
they're not just like filler goals, they're important goals.
They're
winners.
He scored the winning goal in the semi-final against Southampton. He's got loads of goals, you know, towards the back end of last season. Some important goals,
and some fantastic finishes as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what he's got. Like he can roof it. Like.
Yeah, I said it. I don't know. It must have been 4 or 5 months ago. He reminds me a little bit of Daniel Sturridge. The way he can
little backlift.
There you go. That's what I was going to say. I mean, he can strike a ball with minimal backlift, and it's so troubling for keepers because
he can literally shoot from anywhere. That's Daniel Sturridge had that as well.
Mm-hmm.
As well, like, I was watching the highlights of some of their pre-season games, and Leicester obviously, like, they got good momentum going, like, having won the FA Cup at the end of last season, and then the fans are back as well, and they got those clappers things, which, by the way, stop giving them out. That's so annoying to listen to. All you hear is every time they score. So annoying. But then, like, you've got Harvey Barnes is back now as well.
Yeah.
And they look like they've got goals.
And also
all
shout
over.
Out to Harvey Barnes, because he couldn't play in the FA Cup final.
Yeah, and then Jose Perez has been scoring a few goals he's been scoring a few goals in pre-season as well. But I think the only issue is going to, instead of, because now they make good signings, you know, Samare, Ryan Bertrand, Daka as well, and they might make some more, who knows. But
got
the
James
only thing
Justin
I think,
coming back
James
well,
Justin, Pereira is fully fit.
Unfortunately,
but Fofana got injured. That's the big injury. Like that. Did you see, all saw the foul in that?
It's disgraceful.
Such an Unai Emery thing.
And the worst thing was,
be banned for a couple games.
Do you know what happened as well? They were 3-0 up in that game, and that player scored afterwards, and he got booed like to oblivion.
Nah, he should be banned for a couple of games. I'm sorry. There's just absolutely no need.
Villarreal were 3-0 up?
No. Leicester were 3-0 up. They drew 3-2. They won 3-2.
They drew 3-2.
My bad.
Yeah, that's the scoreline, bro.
But then what do you guys think about the possibility of James Maddison moving?
Well, I think we flipped that back onto Ewan Jr., really, because let's be honest, the strongest links with Maddison are at the moment being made with Arsenal.
And
so
they're looking at potentially getting a Jesse Lingard as a replacement, which I think that would be very smart business from Leicester. That could work, which is making
That's
me think now,
I didn't think
could
about
it
that.
Happen? No, because I saw it on Sky Sports this morning.
I didn't even know that.
No. This is truth.
This is legit. So.
Okay, should I get excited?
I'm getting a little bit more excited now.
But
I don't guess me, guys.
But
I
Jesse just, Lingard did say that he wants to stay and fight for his spot. So.
Yeah.
I will.
Which is what I said 2 weeks ago, and you. One of you two.
I said he shouldn't, but
I said he shouldn't as well.
You
and
need
I still
a player
don't think he
like
should.
That, but I would just question his reasoning behind joining Arsenal. Maddison.
Why?
Because I just don't
players
see
like that.
Arsenal going in the right direction, whereas Leicester are. But at the same time, we've said on here before that Leicester may be trying a different system that Maddison doesn't fit into. So I understand it. And maybe, look, Arsenal is a bigger club than Leicester. Let's have it right. Mm-hmm. Maybe it is better for his career, like, going to a club like Arsenal, but that's my only reason why I'd be like Maddison to Arsenal.
But would it be the same? Like, just
it'd be the same if he came Spurs.
Yeah,
as well.
That's what I was gonna ask.
Exactly the same. I would question it.
It looked like against City, Leicester just stuck to their normal kind of 4-2-3-1. Maddison in the 10.
He was awesome. By the way,
he was good. He was good.
He was awesome. But I
have a feeling he stays there. Mm-hmm. This season,
okay.
I think the transfer is too difficult for Arsenal,
and we're like 3 days away. You play in
Friday,
3 days. I think that's one to keep an eye on next summer.
But you need a midfielder because you've obviously offloaded.
We absolutely need a number. Yeah, we need a number 10, 100%.
I see Arsenal. I see Arsenal ramping up the pressure to sign him. Not saying that we will sign him, but I think we're desperate.
I think just from the murmurings, he's open to the move.
Yeah.
I feel like with these players, a lot of the time, and I know some people might disagree, if you're a player at a team that's not one of the big names, he gets less of a look in when it comes to England.
That's true,
so in order for him to like try and win his way into the England squad. I feel like it might help if he goes to Arsenal. And also, towards the end of last season, he wasn't a guaranteed starter. So who knows? They might push
at Arsenal. He would definitely be a guaranteed.
Yeah. He's above our level at the moment. You know, definitely.
He
missed it.
He was carrying injury
as well. It's true, but like, there was murmurings of him and Brendan Rodgers falling out a little bit.
It looks like that because he went straight back into that team.
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean,
well,
who knows? Like, they might try a 4-3-3, which means like they can play Tielemans a little bit more further forward, bring in Sumare as well. Who knows? So they might be able to think, oh, we can cope without James Maddison.
But if they bring in Lingard is
he's
a different player to James Maddison. Mm-hmm. Mm. But like I said for the England squad, like Lingard provide something completely different, which not a lot of teams have, which is that run into the box, finishing from a midfield presence. I think that's and also he could play out wide, he could play in the middle, he could play more forward. I think that would be a good sign.
I think if we do get him, then we probably will have to sweeten the deal by adding some players. So like guys,
they don't
like
want any of our players.
I guess so. I don't think they'll turn down Maitland-Niles because he's so versatile.
I think we've already tried that option. We don't want any of your players. We just want 60 million.
Yeah. He is versatile. Yeah, I think you're right.
65.
I don't know. I just
he might 60
million
plus. 70, but yeah, but it's not coming out of my pocket. So pay the money in it, bro.
Because I honestly think like if they really wanted, they would have at least accepted like Maitland-Niles.
Yeah,
but they just want the money. So pay them, Arsenal Football Club.
Please don't.
Trying to segue into Arsenal.
I mean, they were third on your list, so we can talk about them. Actually, fourth.
Up to Mark.
Man City.
Do you want to go into Liverpool? Or do you want to talk about
we haven't talked about Chelsea.
Were Chelsea in the Community Shield one?
Bro.
Oh,
it went City happening. To Chelsea
oh,
to
my
Liverpool
bad, my
to
bad.
Arsenal.
Spurs ain't even on the list.
Questioning your own agenda.
sorry.
Gonna start home. Go home and start shadow boxing.
Because we're here at Arsenal, we can and then divert back round. So, in 3 days, we're going to see practically the exact same lineup against Brentford.
Can I ask you both a question? Because
yeah, I think we'll get relegated. No, I'm joking.
No. I think, once again, your owners, there's been poor business, in my opinion, from Arsenal. I think, obviously, the window's still open, but if I was an Arsenal fan, I would have maybe expected a little bit more going into the new season. And looking at you in pre-season, I mean, I went to the friendly game, Arsenal-Tottenham. I don't think either team was amazing. But I was watching Arsenal. I was just like, yeah, Smith Rowe, great. Saka, great. But again, are you just going to be relying on the same players? I still feel like you need to massively improve that team, especially midfield. Like, would you have expected a little bit more, or are you happy with the signings that you've made so far?
No, there's no question about it. It's a flipping shambles at Arsenal. Like, it's a joke. first and foremost, yeah, we've spent 75 million so far on three players. And in terms of upgrade on what we had last season, obviously, Tavares is a backup. He's better than Kolasinac, or he's better than whoever we had at left back as a backup too. He's still at Arsenal, by the way. He was on the bench against Tottenham.
Lokonga,
he's better than Guendouzi, so that's a good signing. Ben White, I can't categorically say he's better than Saliba. And David Luiz, in terms of play on the ball, I can't say he's better than him, but he's probably a better defender.
But he's looked quite decent.
Yeah, he looked good. I don't mind Ben White, but 50 million on a centre-back that is not a guaranteed better than what you already had is questionable. But we spent 75 million.
There's a higher ceiling there.
There's a higher ceiling, definitely, but he's only...
David Luiz is 35.
That's true.
And Ben White is 23.
But yeah, all of that is true, but In terms of where we needed strengthening, last season we were third best defence in the league.
Third best defence.
And
yeah,
we were the 10th best attack. So where do you think you should be improving? We've already spent 75 million, like I said, and we're probably going to need about that minimum on a couple more players. Well, if we sign Maddison, then we're going to need to spend almost 100, which I just can't see it happening.
The lack of goals is a concern.
And also, the areas where like the strongest rumours are coming from and the players we're linked with, like the strongest rumours are Tammy Abraham and flipping Aaron Ramsdale. Like, what is this?
The
nonsense?
Ramsdale one has
it's gone quiet, but I mean, I'm still hearing, like, even after if you saw the goal Birmingham scored against Sheffield United, I'm still like, why on earth would anyone with
the
right mind
being
be wanting
a bit too harsh on Tammy? Because, right, I'm looking at some like Aubameyang. Has he scored in preseason?
Aubameyang has not scored in preseason.
I think your lack of goals is a problem.
He did an overhead kick that hit the crossbar, and everyone went mad.
Tammy does score goals. Maybe that is what.
Yeah, but Aubameyang historically has scored goals.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in terms of goals, who's in terms of goals, Aubameyang is dwarfing Abraham.
I'm sorry. I think Aubameyang. I'd be worried.
Yeah, I mean, we are worried because just generally, I don't think we create enough chances. And a guy like that, he's one who feeds on a lot of chances. And he's clearly not confident right now. So we should have someone where we can be able to bench him. Lacazette is terrible. My goodness gracious. We've got to get away from this Lacazette.
To be honest, I would play Balogun or Martinelli or someone. I would freshen that up.
But they're both 20 years old. So it's scary, the fact that we're relying on... this team is literally relying on Smith Rowe and Saka. It's crazy.
Oh,
and they're both 20 and 21.
He was phenomenal in that friendly, obviously.
Can I pose you a question? I know that the two leagues are different, but one works for one and the other one. Why can't we try it is what I'm going to ask you. Borussia Dortmund rely on a lot of teenagers or have done in the past as well. So when Jadon Sancho went into the team, he was a teenager. I've gone blank.
Yeah, I guess it's true.
Pulisic, Haaland, Reina, Bellingham. These players go straight into their team.
Yeah.
And I get it. The Bundesliga is way different than the Premier League. Premier League is more physical, quicker, and all that kind of stuff. But if they're good enough, just give them a chance. Like,
yeah,
don't see like why we couldn't play, for example, Martinelli instead of Lacazette. Even if it takes Martinelli a little bit more time to like hit the ground running, it's more fruitful in the end because you're giving the player more experience, more confidence. To
do you think then that just gives you, let's say, right, you what's your first big game of the season? I know you've got Brentford
Chelsea
away.
Next week,
right? So let's say you so Chelsea's your second game of the season, right? And you see a lineup, and by the way, this is all hypothetical because I know Martinelli's just finished the Olympics, so he's going to go off and have his holiday
gold medal, baby.
He's back.
He's not even going to have a little holiday, right?
He's straight back, yeah.
Well, all right, anyway, forget all that. This is still hypothetical. So you go into that Chelsea game and you see your front four is Martinelli, Smith-Rowe, Saka,
Pepe
or whatever, and you lose 4-0. Right. Is that not... No, I'm just... This is all, again, would that not be just a bit of another stick for Arsenal fans to beat Arteta with? Why is he chucking the youngsters in a big game against Chelsea? Too many youngsters, not enough experience.
The argument against that is that the likelihood is that we probably will still get slapped even with the experienced players.
But also, what the flip side of that is that he did that last season when we won 3-1.
Yeah, true. He did do that. But that was a different Chelsea team. That was a Lampard Chelsea team.
It doesn't matter.
This is a Tuchel Chelsea.
No, at the time, we were flirting with relegation and Chelsea, if they had won, they'd been back in the top four or something like that. So the fact that he went in, put Martinelli in and Smith Rowe, and we had a fantastic game and won 3-1.
But your biggest issue is the lack of creativity. Yeah. Like, I was watching the game really closely, and
it's just the same. Honestly,
it's the same.
Like, Lokonga looks really good, though.
He did.
When I was watching that game, I was just like, you know, we came off the Euros with a bit of a high, and then Arsenal had a friendly against Hibernian a couple of days later, and I was like, I don't like this anymore. Like, I don't like football anymore. Like, it's just back to the same thing. And I watched that game and we're doing the same thing, passing it in that square. White to Mari to Xhaka to Lokonga and back and back and back, doing the same thing. The fact that Hector Bellerin started that game is an embarrassment as it is. Doing this Lacazette and Aubameyang thing, like, it doesn't work anymore. And then just the way we don't create enough chances, we don't keep the ball, we don't sustain attacks. It's just going to be a repeat of the same thing unless we make some really good signings. So I think definitely we need a forward. We definitely need a number 10, and we need a right back as well otherwise. And also, let's not forget, we've got our backup goalkeeper is Ronason. And we've got...
do you know what? Goalkeeper, that's a problem.
Okwanka
because
as well.
Because if Leno gets a serious injury...
No, his name is... The third choice goalkeeper is called Okwanka.
I swear that I actually just thought, and we've got that Plonker as well, bro.
I'll see some of his games, and Plonker would be nice if he said that to him, bro. I'd rather have Tanya in goal,
man. He's only a teenager.
Well, bro, just go college or something, man. It's not for you.
I can see us, like...
And I don't rate Leno.
We miss out... Why?
I don't think he's very good.
No. Going back to your point, I want to hear the point.
Don't look, he just gave it.
I don't. And so, I don't know. That's just my opinion.
Okay. Anyway,
I don't rate him.
I can see us finishing. Okay, are you gonna let me talk?
Go on.
I can see us ending the transfer window, like begging Real Madrid for Odegaard.
Well, to be honestly, there's so many players that are available, but we need that number 10. Even if it's Odegaard, I'm taking it. If it's Aouar, I'm taking it. If it's Bernardo Silva, by some miracle, I'm taking it. But absolutely, my first choice is definitely James Madison.
You should go after Aouar. How much is he worth? 20
mil. They want 20 million euros. 20 million euros. That's like 17 million pounds.
I think the ship sailed on it because of his brothers.
Bro, just go get him. The thing is, if you're willing to go up to like 60 million for Madison, then you should be able to.
No, but it's not that. It's about like... Like, for example, like he messed us around last season.
I guess so. If we wanted him, we probably would have gone by now, innit?
Wanted something like nearly 10 million in agent fees, which is outrageous. Yeah. So,
but all I'm saying, yeah, is...
It could be like, oh, it's 20 million euros. Mm-hmm. And then his brother goes, yeah, we still want that 10. That we're paying his brother 10 million so we can sign him. That don't make sense to me.
But and also Joe Willock left as well. Well, he hasn't officially gone, but it looks like he's pretty much done deal. Yeah. Which for me, I heard you guys talking last week and I was just like saying, when I was listening to him, I was like, oh, why didn't they mention the fact that we're going to sell Joe Willock? Because like the whole point of sending player not out on loan is so they can come back better. And he did way better than anyone expected. Got player of the month, scored, outscored our entire midfield put together.
7-7.
And we're selling him. I get he's a saleable asset, but the fact that he's a player that I think we need because I like Lokonga and I like Partey, but both of them are pretty similar.
But if you get Madison, you won't miss him. Though. That's where it's decent. No, but
he can play centre. I'm not saying he's number 10. I'm saying he can play centre mid because he's one of the... I like players who play... If we're going to play with Partey, then you need someone who plays ahead of Partey so Partey can spray those passes. He does something that no one in this team does and he makes forward runs into the box and he gets goals as well.
I think it's a case of... You look like you're slightly better in terms of the way you're trying to sell assets. And I think this is you lot kind of just selling him when his price is at its peak. I don't think he'll ever be worth more than this. I think if someone tried to sign him at the beginning of last season, before he went on loan, etc., you would have got 5-10 mil. Yeah. And now you're looking at 25 mil. So in that sense, it's smart. But
I still think we could have got more for him.
On the other side of the coin is that you're losing him. He's not going to be an Arsenal player anymore. And he didn't... For me, I think the disappointing thing for him maybe would be the fact that he's gone to Newcastle, bagged 7-7, but it wasn't just the goals, it was his overall impact on the game. And then to come back to Arsenal and just to not get that kind of final chance.
I just think, I honestly just
to bring that momentum.
The club are desperate to sell players, to raise funds, to do what they have to do. And if Willock is collateral, then that's where
it's just
take.
It's just a combination of years of bad... bad deals, giving like Willian 200k, Kolasinac is on 100k. Like, why are these players going to want to go? Cedric's got a 4-year deal on 100k.
Yeah, it's like Spurs, we have the same issue with Sissoko.
That's why, and then we can't sell these players, and then we will only get rid of them when they have no value left. Like we did last January, where we got rid of Mustafi for free and Socrates and Ozil. We all bin them off when they have no value left. Yeah. It's because you give these crazy deals to these players who aren't up to it. And then all these aging players as well. So now we're in this situation now where we're going to have to keep overpaying. People say Arsenal aren't spending money. We spent a lot of money over the last 5 years or so. Yeah, we overpaid almost for everyone. Like, we bought Lacazette for 50 million. Pepe 6 months later, we paid 60 million for Aubameyang. Like, Arsene Wenger would never do that.
But
he
did
have to do it in a 70 million on Pepe. Like, look at all these transfers we have to do. Like, so it's just a mess right now. But and on Friday it might get ugly. You know, oh my god,
with fans back in the
stadium. And it's the debut of that. By the way, the stadium looks
amazing.
Yeah. It's really, really good. It's the first time I think fans will see a competitive game in there. Obviously, it helps that it's one of the big boys coming for the first game
for
in the
Brentford.
League.
It's going to be Brentford. Rocking.
It's going to be rocking, and I think you're right. It's going to be a very difficult night for Arsenal.
I think Conte, because I think Arteta is getting sacked.
Oh please, God.
No, I honestly can see it happening.
I do like the speculation, but we have spent a lot of time on this 23 minutes and we still have a lot to talk about.
A lot, yeah.
So let's just quickly, we've got Pablo Mari against Lukaku next week, which is going to be very ugly.
I don't think Lukaku will start any of Chelsea's first couple of games. He hasn't even trained with them yet.
Junior wants to move on.
Can I move on then? cool. So let's move on to Liverpool. So, Mark, we're still in the same situation as last week. We had the conversation where you've only signed one player. But I guess one plus is that certain players have come back from loans, like Harvey Elliott. What are you looking for this season with the return of like Harvey Elliott, but then also the injured defenders, and what are you looking for? What are you hoping for?
Just for us to kind of come back and kind of say we're here and we're back. I think we need to open up the season with a statement win. Norwich.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We've got Norwich, Burnley, and then Chelsea. That's our first three games.
Norwich just signed an American.
Yeah. I can't remember his name, but looks a decent signing for
Josh Sargent.
Josh Sargent. That's it. My hope is that we start the season with a statement win against Norwich and then just bring forward that momentum. Everyone's fit apart from Andy Robertson at the moment, who's going to be out until the first international break. So he missed the first three league games, which isn't too big of an issue.
We get to finally see Tsimikas.
Get to finally see Tsimikas, who's been really good this preseason. He was unfortunate last season. You know, he had COVID, he had a couple of injuries. And the fact of the matter is that Andy Robertson just never, ever gets injured up until this point. So this is his opportunity. This is his moment. We played a preseason game yesterday at Anfield. He was brilliant. Put one on the plate for Firmino. Osasuna. Obviously, pronunciation might be a bit off there.
No, that was good.
That was perfect.
That was good.
Hey, jeez. And we won that 3-1. Firmino bagged a brace.
Minamino scored.
Minamino's looked really good this preseason.
I forgot about him, man.
Yeah, so
I actually thought
you
sold him to Southampton.
No, we loaned him, and he kind of even lost his place in the Southampton team towards the end of the season. So at that point, I thought, he's come back.
It's done.
But he's come into preseason. He's looked really good. Everyone's looked good this preseason.
Like Junior was saying, I saw a lot of raving about Harvey Elliott.
I'm telling you right now, and I wanted to make sure I say this on air, at the end of this season, people will talk about Harvey Elliott the same way they speak about Saka, Foden, these types of players.
Ooh, Starboy vibe.
That's
yeah.
a big
I'm
shout.
I'm telling you lot, right? You've got to remember, when we signed him, all of the big clubs in the world, Real Madrid, I think Bayern were kind of in for him, and a couple of the English big boys, all in for him. He's a special, special talent. Left footer as well. He's 18 now, so he's gone to the Championship last season
with
Blackburn, got something like 8 goals, 11 assists, which is super impressive at 17 years old. He was 17 at the time, ripping up the Championship with ease. And he's just come into the Liverpool team in pre-season, and he's been starting with the starters. So he's been playing in a midfield three. He's been playing on the right of a midfield three, so he can kind of use his left foot, link up with Mo Salah and Trent. But yeah, that's my statement of the episode, that he will be spoken about in that breadth. I promise you, in the same breadth as Saka, Foden, I really do. And I don't think it's long until he kind of works his way into the Greenwood, into the England squad with these types of talents.
So who would your starting 11 be for Norwich?
Ooh, tricky question. So it would be Alisson in goal and Trent at right back. I wouldn't chuck Van Dijk in just yet. He's looked good in pre-season, and he played 70 minutes on... So we had two friendlies in 2 days, two completely different teams. So we played Athletic Bilbao the day before.
And Jota scored, right?
Jota scored. We drew that one 1-0. I've just done it. We drew that one 1-1. So yeah, I'd go with Alisson, Trent, and I'd start the season with Konate and Matip at the back.
It's very dangerous, two injury-prone centre-backs.
You can't really say that about Konate. He's had a bit of an injury at Leipzig, but he's not injury prone.
We'll see. Right. Where's Gomez?
He's out here scheming. Gomez got 60 minutes last night, so he's about 2 weeks behind Verge. So Verge will be the first to come back of the two. And then I'd start Tsimikas at left back because no Andy Robertson. Then it would be Fabinho, Keita, Thiago.
Hendo
played 10 minutes yesterday. That's all he's played in preseason. He only got back like 5 days ago. And then Mane, Jota, Salah. That's how I'd go. Naby Keita's looked really, really good in preseason. And
so
I probably say this
season.
Every preseason.
This is his season. He's back.
It's just a shame because I'd love to say this is his season, but you just come to
he
learn that you can't
play,
rely on
it.
His
he
body. He just keeps getting injured.
We can't even assess to how good he is because he barely plays. So.
Can't stay fit, but he's been to see a specialist. We've got a specialist now at the club who works specifically with him because it's annoying, obviously, for him, but for the club as well.
That's my helper, you know.
Is there anything you're worried about?
Just a little bit of squad depth, but we can't all have squads like City and PSG. And so.
Arsenal.
For me, I'd like to see and Arsenal, yeah.
And Spurs.
I'd like to see one or two more incomings. I said this last week or whenever it was, an out and out number nine, just to offer a bit of.
Has Origi not gone yet?
No. This guy will never leave. But I'd never ever have a bad word to say about him. It looks like Shaq Kiri is off to Lyon.
Shaq Kiri.
I was gonna say Shaq, and then I thought some people might not even know what I mean. So Shaqiri off to Lyon potentially. Lyon, yeah. Which I think would be good for
our replacement.
He's off to Arsenal, yeah. So that opens up a spot. We've had a bit of an issue actually in the sense that all of our non homegrown spots are filled at the moment.
Okay.
So Shaq leaving.
Someone needs to go. Yeah.
Shaq leaving opens one spot up for us, and I think we will sign someone. Jürgen Klopp actually said it in the interview after Bilbao, is that you're not going to name anyone, but there's potential that we'll see at least one more person come in.
That's good, though.
Over the course of the window, which is good, and that for me has to be a number nine or a backup right back.
Who is that number nine?
I don't know. Like, for me personally, it would have been someone like Danny Ings. Not to start, but just someone who knows where the goal is.
I heard Tammy's
quick.
Available.
Get who? Tammy. No, that's you might kind of. Someone like him, but someone who just sits on the last defender. I love Bobby Firmino's a bit, but that's not his game. Someone who sits on the centre back, stretches centre backs, makes those awkward runs behind, like similar to how Jamie Vardy did in his prime.
Sounds like you're talking about Jota.
Well, Jota, but for me, Jota is someone who can play. He's not a striker by trade. He's someone who can play anywhere across that front three. And that's where... Yeah, and he will start the season up top against Norwich, I'm pretty certain, with Marley on the left, Salah on the right. But yeah, like I said, I think it's just on us to start the season well. It's quite evident that there are a lot of people out there who think we're finished. We're absolutely not finished. You know, we've got big players coming back. Players coming back who won the Champions League and the Premier League back-to-back. Mm-hmm. 99 points, 98 points back-to-back in the league. These are players who are... Top world class, and they're back and they're fit. We'll see what happens.
Do you think Liverpool have something to prove?
I think we've got everything to prove, yeah. Because last season, let's be honest, until the last 10 games, which I think flew over a lot of people's head, we went unbeaten in the last 10. We won 8 and we drew 2. The 2 we drew were the annoying equalisers against Leeds and Willock for Newcastle, both in the 90 minutes plus. So without those two equalisers, we would have won 10 of our last 10. With the most depleted squad we've seen at this club for a long time.
And you got top four.
So, and well, we came third.
Yeah, but third.
We came third, which I still don't know how.
He's lost 6 at home, man, in a row. That's
in a row. In a row. I remember coming to the podcast and just thinking, I didn't want to be here.
We were on Zoom them times as well.
We was on Zoom.
Yeah.
Should I log in, man?
We went from never having seen Liverpool lose in like 5 years at home.
What were we at one point? We were what group?
Support group.
Yeah, support group.
Yeah, we was all going through a tough middle of the last season.
Tough period.
None of us were happy. But
I mean,
I haven't been happy for you.
I'm never happy. I don't think I've ever been happy. My whole
supporting
career.
Fair enough. You're gonna have to hold our hands.
Listen,
let's hope Liverpool
have
the same
season.
Type of season.
Oh,
as
okay.
Well.
No,
I don't think Liverpool are still in the conversation for challenging for the league.
Of course,
absolutely. Of course, I think there are four teams. Who are in that
teams.
Conversation
wow.
This season.
Aside from all the players coming back, you forget Liverpool have Klopp, man.
Oh, yeah. Klopp is... 100%.
If not the best, he's top two.
He's up there with Pep, 100%.
Mm-hmm. And Tuchel.
Which leads us over to you, Tanya.
Oh, Spurs. Good old Spurs.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure.
You went to the game?
I did go to the game. I went to the friendly.
How was it?
I wasn't
you
that...
You with your crew?
I did, yeah.
Is that your first time at the toilet?
At the toilet.
I'm completely joking because, by the way, that
deserves a lot.
It does actually look like a toilet.
For all the Spurs fans out there, let's be honest. That Tottenham Hotspur Stadium is arguably the best stadium in England, right? So that was a complete joke. But from
the outside, it looks like a toilet.
If you was looking down, like a satellite image, it does fully look like a toilet.
Man,
but talk to us about your experience of now. Was it your first time?
Yeah, it was my first
time. So talk
time
to us about your experience
stadium.
Of, you know, when you kind of walk, you've gone through the ticketing system, you've gone through all of that, and you're going through, and you're coming up the stairs for the first time, and you're looking for your seat. What was your feeling when you kind of looked at that pitch and you thought, you know what, this is, like, I'm here?
Yeah, it was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Beautiful view. Had beautiful seats as well. Proper lovely seats. You know, everything just looks spanking new. The seats look fresh. The floor looks clean. The food was nice.
The floor looks clean.
The floor was clean.
So what, you walk into the first thing you think of when you walk into the
Oh, wow, they mopped.
These floors been mopped.
Yeah, they actually cleaned.
Because I asked for a refund, you know.
No, no, you know how bad the team Silly has bang. You know how bad the team has to be that you notice that the floor is clean.
Yeah. Honestly, like, beautiful.
We
say
terrible,
the
but
art.
The floor is spotless, man. Oh my God.
No, no, it was impressive, really, really impressive. Like when you look at the old White Hart Lane, it was absolute, well, shambles.
That and one was actually the inside of a toilet.
It was the inside of a toilet, but it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. So I was really impressed with that. But I mean, a North London derby is never really a friendly. Like the Spurs fans were proper up for it. Honestly, the language. Some people really don't care. They have young kids with them. And I'm hearing all kinds of swear words, you know. But
F off, son.
Honestly, it was crazy.
I thought the round of applause for Saka was great.
Oh, do you know what?
But
I love my club for doing that. And I feel like that's where you need to put rivalry aside.
I love it. But that's got to end though. I got to say, because I'm so ready. Listen, I don't like being on the receiving end of it.
That's got to end.
No, listen. Yeah. You can't. Like,
this. Said the guy who will allow man them to hug and kiss after a 0-0 draw.
No. What I mean, no, I don't mean it from that part. But I mean from the point of view of you don't have to make a song and dance about it. Just don't be racist.
Yeah, it's true.
No. It's not. You're no, right. No. For me,
he's
not
talking about the rivalry.
It's not about the. No, like, obviously, it's about the missed penalty as well, and ensuring that doesn't kind of affect him in a way that it shouldn't. Because at the end of the day, we've had these conversations, but he probably shouldn't have been one of the ones to step up. And there was a lot of pressure put on him at 19. But I think the time for that, and I thought it was, honestly, I saw that and I thought that's exactly what I want to see. But going into the new season now, I've missed it. Like that tribalism, you know, where none of that matters. And it's if you pull on the op shirt, that's it for you. We're really going to go
That'll
at you
be
today.
Back. Don't worry.
That will be back. Of That'll course it will be back. But it was nice to see Saka get
it
that
was
round
a
of applause.
It was
honest, and it was nice to see he kind of acknowledged it. He gave a little clap back.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, no, it was good. It was good from the Spurs fans to do that. But I think generally our preseason, it's not been that bad. I mean, we haven't lost in preseason, so you've got to be happy with that. I know people say preseason doesn't matter, but for me, it does. I think it's always good to have a bit of momentum going into the new season, beating Arsenal, drawing with Chelsea. Obviously, they brought their kids on, and that's when we got back into the game. It is what it is. But I do think, with Nuno coming in, I do think we look a bit better in terms of the way we're playing. I feel like there's a bit more of a plan. We look like we're playing a bit more attacking, which is nice to see. Dele Alli, I think we need to cut ties. I will always say it. I don't think he's the player that he was. We've all said that. And I don't think he's ever going to get back to being that player, in my opinion. I thought he was awful in that game against Arsenal. He missed two easy chances. Wasteful on the ball, as always. Frustrating. Moore has been good in pre-season. I think he's going to be a starter. Bergwijn's not looked too bad. Son's scored a couple of goals. So it's good that we're scoring, and that's always positive when you look at the things that are happening behind the scenes with Harry Kane. Like, people are forgetting that we don't have our captain playing. Well, he's not our captain, our main striker playing for us. But I have no expectations going into the season, guys. I'll be honest with you. My expectations are on the floor. I don't expect us to get top four, obviously. Maybe top 10, if we lose Kane. But I do like Nuno. I'm warming to him. I think he's a really nice guy. And I think he comes across well in interviews. Like, I like the fact that when they asked him about Kane, he was like, did you watch the game? Like, I like that, you know?
Ryan Mason is probably a nice guy as well, so.
Well, yeah. But
Spurs legend as well.
I'm glad we've signed Romero, but for me, it doesn't stop there. We have to get
another
centre-back.
You've only signed one player, innit?
We've signed three. We signed Gallini, the goalkeeper from Atalanta. He's looked decent. I've been impressed with him. The Chelsea game, it was a bit questionable for the goals he conceded, but second half made some decent saves. Brian Hill, I've not seen.
Who's that?
The Spanish
kid. I saw him in the final of the Olympics.
Yeah, so
he hit the crossbar.
We're yet to see him, but should be a decent signing. And then Romero, who is injured, annoyingly.
He's signed and injured.
Dyer Sanchez.
Yeah, so we're going to be starting with Dyer and Sanchez. Oh, and I have to big up Tanganga as well in that friendly. He looked impressive.
Where did he play?
Right back.
Played right back, yeah, and he got the assist for the Son goal.
So it looks, because
I mean,
let's be honest,
Mari should be gifted with the assist for the Son goal.
What do you mean?
Did you not see
him fall on the ground?
He threw himself on the ground.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. But, you
yeah,
know,
but that was
Tanganga
bodied him, innit?
Yeah, Tanganga bodied him.
No one touched Mari. No one touched Mari. Mari just flung himself to the ground.
But still, he did good for the goal, innit?
Is Aurier and Soko going?
I hope so. And, you know, it brings me on to, I don't know if you guys were going to mention this, Ndombele, I'm really, really frustrated with him at the moment. He's not had any preseason games, not played.
Why?
We don't know. He's had a baby, so that's fair enough. But I'm not being funny.
What, himself? He delivered it. Well, I can understand if he's not playing. He needs to recover.
But I'm not being funny. Toby, he had a child and he was playing like, after two games.
I think usually it is just a few games.
Maybe, right? Maybe he's on paternity leave.
And he didn't even go to the Euros either. So he's had a long break. I'm not aware of when was the baby born, by the way. This was
it's been over a week now.
Oh.
And
but was he not in pre-season training? I know, yeah.
Last week.
Zero sympathy.
Oh, like, you got one day off and that's it. Like, I want to see you on Tuesday.
If you love the club, then you play while his baby's been born.
He's not played any pre-season games.
So what was happening before?
I don't know.
Has he not turned up at all?
No.
Is he injured?
He's not injured, but Nuno said in an interview, it's not fitness problem. So there's something else going on. He's apparently unhappy that Aurier and Sissoko are potentially leaving. Both his brothers. That's waste my mentality.
It's nonsense. I expect Aubameyang to do as well.
It's not Friendship FC. This is Tottenham FC.
It's true.
You are here to play for Tottenham Hotspur. You are our most expensive signing. We pay you a lot of money and he's not pulling his weight. For me, I'm not going to lie, if a good fee comes in, I'm going to cut ties.
Yeah, but you need a player in that mold.
No, we do,
though.
But if his mentality is not there, mm-hmm. That's one thing. I do not like players that don't want to be here. Mm-hmm. I really don't care who you are. So
but I don't see anyone coming in for
So how do you feel about number 9, Harry Kane?
I saw his apology. I think it's a fake apology. I think he's just shivering because he knows, obviously, there was slight rumours Messi could go City. Obviously, he's going PSG.
He's done.
He knows that Tottenham aren't going to sell him willy-nilly because he's worth a lot of money when you're looking at how much Lukaku's going for. So he's shitting himself. So that's why he's come out and apologised. I can see him staying. It's going to get toxic. I don't think he's not going to play for the Man City game. I think he'll be on the bench. I don't think he'll start.
When you say it's going to get toxic, what do you mean?
I just don't think it's good for the dressing room, him being around players when he clearly wants to leave. But I'm hearing he wants to sign a new contract so he can put a release clause in.
Them lot need to bow at his feet if he comes back and say, sorry, please stay, we'll help. We'll try and win something.
We'll be better.
He's tired of hearing the apologies, though. Like
who?
Kane. Yeah.
I think Kane needs to apologise too.
Huh? Well, Kane needs to apologise. He has with his...
No, a proper one.
Yeah, a proper one, a genuine one. But
sorry, guys. I just wanted a bit more money at Man City. Sorry. Look, I'm going to say now, Nuno's a great guy.
But yeah.
So, is there any positives, obviously, other than Nuno, who you're warming to, and Romero?
I do like him. Mm-hmm.
What are the other positives that you can see at Spurs going into the new season?
Like I said, I think it looks like we're playing more... We're playing with a system now and we look like we're playing more attacking football. Yeah,
definitely more expansive.
I've been really impressed with, as I said, more Lucas Moura. I like the fact that we've got young players coming through like Oliver Skip. We've still got Cessignon.
And your darling.
Dane Scarlett. I love him. Think he's a good talent. But definitely Oliver Skip. He's played every preseason game and he's looked very good, I have to say.
What's your expectation for him in particular this season?
I want him to start.
Straight off the bat.
Yeah.
All right, what?
I would start him.
When you look back on this season, are you saying you want him to be your regular starter playing, 80% of your league games with Højbjerg? Because who was he on loan with last season? Was it Norwich? And I'm sure, and obviously Norwich have kind of plugged that gap very well by getting Gilmore on loan.
Mm. He's a big man for Skip.
He's actually really little.
But Skip is, 21-2, right?
Yeah.
20.
What, you going to come to a final number?
No, I don't know. I'm just going to keep getting 8. He's at that age now where it's absolutely fair for him to kind of expect that if he plays well enough, he should be in that team.
Absolutely.
He's going to be competing with Lo Celso, though, isn't he?
Well, Well, I don't think there's much to compete with.
Lo Celso was good against Arsenal, I thought.
No, he did. He made an impact when he came on, but he's another one I'm not too sure about. But we'll have to see.
And well, let's just be brutally honest here as well. It's been too long since Spurs have had an academy player really come through and stay in that team for a prolonged period of time. I can't think Harry Kane. I know, but
Harry Winks.
He's come from our academy.
Fair enough.
Yes, he can't get rid of him.
Winks. I can't think of doesn't really else. Count. Well, he does because he's forced himself a decent career.
But Winks
isn't
good. That's the thing. So
but
you
also
can't count.
He has played for England.
But he's. I mean, and he's played well, the Champions League final.
Jake Lindwall played for England.
No, he's living off that Champions League.
Yeah. And you got Harry Kane, so it is about time that Spurs kind of brought that next player through Tanganga. But
I mean, Tanganga. But apparently, like, we want to loan him out. But he rejected it because Galatasaray were interested. Galatasaray, you know. If he's going out alone, I want it to be a Premier League
club. Premier League team, yeah.
That would be perfect for him. But I don't know if that's going to happen. But you're right, Mark. We definitely need some academy players coming through. And hopefully he skips that guy.
All right, you
need
final some question. Sorry, go on.
Tottenham need some creativity.
We do.
So I've certainly been linked with Damsgaard. That'd be a good one. But
that would be a good move. Very impressive.
Tottenham have needs. Ever since Eriksen, they don't have creativity. In the team.
They've tried to bring it in with I know he's not ultimately a creative player, but with players like Bergwijn and he tried to bring him in like to give you something a little bit different.
Lo Celso as well.
Hasn't paid off. Lo Celso's been there for years. Years and years.
Well, he's only been there for 2-3 years.
I don't know if Lo Celso...
it's got to be longer than that.
He was there. Poch signed him and then Poch got sacked a couple months
ago. He's injury prone.
Good point.
So years and years. I think you think about Lamella, isn't it?
Yeah, listen, Abdi, don't worry about me.
Argentines are all the same to you.
All right, here we go. Tanya, my final question then. What are you expecting this season?
Champions League.
What's a good season for Spurs? And then, aside from what you think a good season is, what are your actual expectations?
She just rolled her eyes in the nastiest way.
That wasn't directed at Mark, by the way.
The honest answer is I don't have any expectations because we had such a poor season last year. There's been a lot going on behind the scenes. Harry Kane, the manager situation. I don't even think Nuno's really had the time that he would have liked because he's come in, he's had to start pre-season.
There's a lot of madness going on.
He's still probably having to assess what players he actually wants to stay at the club. So I feel for Nuno in that respect. I think a good season is... Winning that Conference League.
No, it has to win in a trophy, though.
It has to be always the aim.
You're probably the best team in that Conference
if you,
League.
Listen, yeah. if Spurs if don't win that, the Conference
never
League,
winning anything.
It's a little bit embarrassing. Some of the teams that I'm seeing...
I think Tottenham actually got drawn against a team called Pardon.
Yeah, something like that.
There was a team, I sent it in the group chat, where they had to draw the numbers on the back of the shirt.
I don't actually
get the whole tournament. I need to do my research.
No, is it like the Intertoto?
Genuine question. Kind of. No, I think it's kind of like... Well, genuine question then, because I don't know the answer to this. So I'm asking in the hope that someone here does. But is it similar to... You know how the third place teams in each group in the Champions League then drop down to the Europa League? Mm-hmm. Are we going to see that?
I think the third place teams in the Europa League will drop down.
But I even then, if you win this...
To be coming third in your Europa League group, let's be honest... You're pretty trash anyway.
But I don't know. The thing is, I think with this competition, if you lose it, it's embarrassing. But if you win it, it's embarrassing.
Because you can't win.
Yeah, because really, do I celebrate it? I guess I do.
You do. I think momentum across the season. I think if you end up getting
to
the quarters,
it's like celebrating the Audi Cup, bro.
Which they did.
Yeah, I celebrated. Why not?
Let's be honest. I think if you get to the quarters in that competition, maybe the semis. Then it will be teams that you recognise and have a decent amount of quality about them. But up until that point,
or not.
If you were Tottenham manager, though, would you be playing players like Son in these
absolutely
competitions?
I wouldn't.
Put the kids out. Dane Scarlett.
I don't know. I think if
Alfie
you get
Devine.
To the Spurs haven't won anything for a long time. I think if it gets to the quarterfinal, semi-finals, I think you could see Son playing it.
Because if you win it,
you go to the Europa League.
But group stages.
But you were talking about finishing 10th. If you finish 10th and finish in the Europa League, that's a big season for you.
Yeah, I guess
considering
so.
Considering what you're saying. Spurs
to be honest,
don't
a good season, right, is if we get 5th place. Because then that would tell me, okay, at least we're pushing at least for top four. But
I mean, it's a big race.
7th or 8th.
There's about 7 teams, 8 teams there.
I'm looking at it now. There's actually a qualifying for this UEFA Conference League, and some of these teams.
Two Scottish teams are in qualification for it.
It's mad. Anyway, we can move on.
Yeah, so Tottenham are by far the strongest team, so they have to win that. But I don't think it's a good season if you win that, though. You have to do more. Getting in top four will probably be more important. But
so, last week, we were talking about my delusions, you know, like how great it would be if Arsenal signed, potentially, hopefully, Madison and Lautaro Martinez.
Yeah,
and then, on the Wednesday, Spurs were linked with Lautaro Martinez. Mm-hmm. Then, Chelsea,
on the Sunday,
Chelsea submitted a bid that blew both of Arsenal and Tottenham's dreams to smithereens, and signed Lukaku.
Do you know what? I'm gonna watch this space on that one because I know. Well, I don't know. I've read Inter are in a lot of financial trouble. I know they've signed Lukaku. I know
they've sold
Lukaku
and Hakimi,
but they need the money, don't they?
Yeah, but I don't think they can sell Martinez.
Do you know why I'm a bit...
Well, they're signing Dzeko, so...
Yeah, but Dzeko's to replace Lukaku, not Martinez.
But do you know why I'm a little bit like, watch this space? Because I read Alistair Gold's article and it said, when an opportunity arises, you can't miss it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm like, okay, Alistair, what does
rumors
that mean?
The rumours are that they're facing liquidation. So apparently they're saying that any player who can...
But
gets a bid like Barella, like De Vrij, like Lautaro Martinez.
Of course, because of the issues at Inter, apparently Barella and Martinez do want to go, but they sold Hakimi and Lukaku for 170 million. So I don't see.
No, I think that. Well, I think I wouldn't rule out Lautaro leaving, but.
Maybe not this season. I can see it next season.
I mean, even if he does leave, I mean, you can do worse than having a front two of Dzeko and Alexis Sanchez. So, he's older, but it's not that bad. But in terms of that Lukaku signing, great signing for Chelsea, obviously, because they need guaranteed goals. But I think the price is ridiculous, man. Goodness
well,
gracious.
It is such a Chelsea thing. You know, Chelsea sold Matic for 5 million and then bought him for like
20 million,
25 million. And then they sold David Luiz and bought David Luiz back. It's such a Chelsea thing to sell Lukaku and then buy him back many years later for an inflated fee.
But that's what I'm saying. If he's worth 100 and how much are they buying him for?
150 million euros, probably about 97 pounds.
Yeah, it's about 95 million.
So in terms of transfer fees, on one player, he's the most expensive player ever. Like, Man United bought him for close to 90.
Oh,
he's got, and Chelsea bought him again. And Everton bought him for 28 million as well. So he's had almost 250 million on him in his career.
What did Inter buy him for?
Yeah, okay. Well, he's I forgot about Inter as well. Inter bought him for about 70 million as well. So
that's like nearly.
He's nearly, So he's the most expensive player ever.
He'll be good at Chelsea.
I think so. I think
he's better than Werner.
I think he'll be. I think he was kind of hard done by at Man United.
He's got a lot to prove, hasn't he?
There was a lot of things. Well, I don't know if there's a lot to prove. Like, at Everton, he scored goals. At Man United, he scored goals. At Inter, he scored goals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think he'll score goals for Chelsea. And
that's what he does, isn't it? He's a shooter.
And with all the ammunition that Chelsea have behind him to supply him...
God.
I think Lukaku's going to... He's going to fire them to a very good season.
Chelsea's squad is stupid. And I don't mean by quality-wise only. I mean... by numbers. Like that team, they played us a couple of weeks ago and I saw them. They started their backup centre mids, Kovacic and Loftus-Cheek. And then they've got so many players and they need to do a lot of work because you can't go into a season with 45 players, man. It's ridiculous. Is that? But yeah, Lukaku is a great signing. I feel like he's obviously a Premier League proven striker. He's got better since he's left, especially with his back to goal and his actual link up play is improved. Mm. I think he's going to score less goals because he's not going to be taking all the penalties because Jorginho is a penalty taker. So
I don't know. I think Chelsea will create so many chances with Mount, Havertz and Co behind him.
Ziyech, Pulisic.
Ziyech has looked really good in preseason as
well. Yeah, Ziyech, I forgot about him.
He's looked really good.
So what does this mean for Werner?
Well, if it was me, I'd send him to Vitesse on loan, where he belongs. But
that's 65 million.
I think he's going to play alongside. I think he'll probably play alongside.
Let's not write off Werner, okay?
Well, I've written him off already, so don't.
Write him off.
Well, I have already. Look, he's off the paper.
Written him off before.
The pen is off the paper. So yeah, he's definitely gone.
Signed, sealed, delivered.
Mm.
All right. Now I hear you, Tanya, but you can't say that when you're sitting next to Abdi.
But was I wrong though? Have I been wrong? You yourself
have been wrong? Is his career finished?
Yeah, but you yourself agreed with me that you were happy he didn't sign for Liverpool.
I said that because it meant that we signed Jota.
No, you specifically said you're right because he's terrible.
Cool. Go and find that for me.
Next week I'm coming with receipts, innit?
I think you should always come with receipts. You make some wild statements.
Well, it's the truth, innit? Just go back and listen. You'll believe me.
Cool. Go on, tell me which episode number.
Episode 61. 28 minutes 46 in.
I'm telling you right now, it wouldn't surprise me if that was accurate. And I went to episode 61, 28 minutes in, and it's just me chatting about Burnley.
Are we going to do predictions?
Wait, hold on. I mean, time. Because we've only got 6 minutes left, but... Okay. Just because we're on Werner, do you think he scored more goals this season?
Yeah, I do.
Then he did last.
Yeah.
Well, he only scored like 6 goals all season, so yeah.
He doesn't start in that. You've got to remember, they play five at the back, two in midfield, and then one of the three spots up top will be Lukaku. One will be Havertz, and then whoever takes that. And I guess one would be Mount.
I think he scores more goals. I'm going to have faith in him.
Faith?
I'm going to try and... No, because you know what? We're all guilty of it. I don't want to be too reactionary. It is only one season, isn't it, in the league? Let's give him this season and see what he does.
Bad misses, though.
I mean, they're terrible.
Yeah, is it my agenda? He's missing
always
in front
offside
of goal.
As well.
Makes sense.
No, he's just adding to your fuel. But all right, okay. Top four predictions. We'll start with Abdi.
I think we're going to get the same top four, but in order, I'm going with Chelsea to win the league. Man City second. Liverpool third and Man United fourth.
I think City are going to win the league. If we're just being open and honest here, yeah, I think it will be City, Liverpool, Chelsea, United.
Oh, I'm going to go City. You know what? I'm going to stick my neck out. Liverpool, Man United, Chelsea fourth.
Interesting.
Chelsea fourth. I'm going to go with City, Chelsea, Liverpool, United. But it's going to be close between who finishes.
Actually, can I swap?
Right. No, who did I put
third?
City. Third?
Yeah.
You put
Chelsea. Man United.
Yeah, but I'll put Man United fourth. Okay. I forgot. They did sign a striker, didn't they, Chelsea?
Don't you think this is... Do you think this is the strongest, if it finishes this top four, do you think it's stronger than the OG top four?
Yeah.
Of Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea and United?
I do.
In terms of squad depth
and star power.
Because Arsenal, them times we had...
We had good players, but they weren't big names.
The first 11
were
probably getting to all the teams, and then the bench was quite, you know...
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I do think, I think just because of the star power and the city.
Yeah, I would tend to agree, but I just think that's when the Premier League really was at its best. I think we'll see something similar this season. And like everyone said here, I think that top four, I don't think we'll see anyone run away with it. And I don't think we'll see any, you know, when you can kind of know in Jan and Feb who's going to go and win the league.
That's what I'm saying.
I think by March, I'm not sure we'll know by March.
Four-way title race, definitely.
I wish you were part of it, but yeah. We ain't got the minerals.
You're forgetting United as well. Like, they look really good this
Sancho
season.
And Varane as
well. Well, technically, if you just...
I think they need a DM, though.
Yeah.
Or a manager to be...
I think if everyone here just pretends that it's a 16-man league... Yeah. And then...
Where are we going with this?
Just pretend that you win the league when you come fifth.
Oh, fair enough. No, we're not going to come fifth, though.
All right. Relegation predictions.
That's hard.
Who's promoted again?
Brentford, Norwich, and Watford.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, I'll go with who stayed up. Watford,
Brighton, Newcastle, Burnley. They all.
Well, yeah, I'm hoping Burnley go down, and probably Norwich because they played two nice football.
Who did you just say?
Norwich, Watford, Burnley.
I'm going to go with... I'm just trying to get the league
Burnley
table up on
there. Burnley
haven't
signed anyone, have they?
Yeah, I want to see the league
hopefully
table.
They
go to the bin where they belong.
I think Norwich...
Who's getting the league table?
Norwich are going back down. Do you know what? Because I need to remind myself
who's
still out here. Norwich, I think, are the ones for me who will probably finish 20th. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if a lot of us thought Leeds would get kind of have a bit of trouble last season, and they end up finishing top half. But I'm going to go with Norwich. I don't know why I'm dragging this out. Norwich, Watford. And then it gets a bit tricky. Then it really does get tricky. So I'll go with Norwich, Watford, and I'll chuck a bit of a questionable one in there, and I'll say Southampton.
Yeah, I was going to say that because they've not made signings. Have they made any signings?
Yeah, they're in for Armstrong as well, which would be a decent signing. Oh, okay. But
they signed that Chelsea Borja guy. I think he's a striker. And they signed someone else, and they're in for that Armstrong.
How much have they signed the Chelsea guy for? But it's ridiculous. Oh, of course it is.
Tans?
Yeah, I'm the same. I was going to say Southampton. Or Brighton, maybe. Maybe, but it looks like they've still got Bissouma. They've still got good players like Mope and Mope. You guys love Mope, don't you?
Hate him.
So
did they not sign a striker?
No, mad. They want Nketiah.
You know, apparently, in terms of chances created, they should have finished fifth.
Yeah, it's mad.
But they can't score goals. So
yeah, they can't.
I'll finish their dinner, man.
They want Nketiah, so we could just take him.
I mean, if you want another non-clinical striker, I haven't.
So Tans, gone.
I said Norwich, Southampton and Watford.
All right, I'm going to go with Norwich, Watford and Southampton.
Interesting.
Surprise package.
So what is this surprise package? Are we just picking a team that we think
that could either do good or bad? Because surprises go both ways. Abdi? Grunted.
I think maybe probably one of the promoted teams. Brentford maybe.
Because you said the other two were going to get relegated.
Actually, Brentford, I don't know. Maybe they might go down as well. So I don't know. And also another team that might go down, Wolves. I thought about them,
but they did. They have, I don't know.
A lot of their big players are back, like Jimenez, Neto. Traore's look good in preseason.
Fair. All right, then. Well, I will say surprise pack. But when I wrote that down, I actually meant I was talking about player, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Surprise player intern package. Okay. So a few players you can look out for, maybe Ivan Toney. I think he could have a good season.
As well, yeah.
Another player, I don't know if he'd be a surprise.
You meant that he was hot.
Yeah.
I didn't say that, she said that. In terms of players, I also say like someone like Buendia. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to seeing him this season. Yeah. And there's one other player I was thinking about. I forgot. Oh, go on. You guys talk. I'll remember.
Mark, how can you... So you got a surprise package and then another one on your list is players to look out for.
Oh, well, whatever anyway.
I'm sure you must have meant team.
That's why I asked for team.
Oh, well, I can't think of a surprise team, I guess.
I know it's not like really a surprise package, but I'm going to say a team and I'm going to say Leeds because I think they are going to surprise people again and do very well this season. And I think a lot of people will have doubts about whether last season was just...
I know who my surprise team is.
But yeah, I think Leeds are going to have another top 10 finish, and that's my surprise kind of package.
Villa. I know people are saying don't get carried away with the signings they've made.
Made.
And I know they've lost their big player in Jack Grealish. That is going to massively affect them. But
they cushion the blow.
They've still got a front three of, what is it, Watkins now they've got. Who else?
Ings. Buendia.
Bailey. They've got Buendia. Leon Bailey. They've got Leon Bailey.
El Ghazi.
They've got a good defence in Chiron Mings. They've got...
They signed Twanzebe.
Twanzebe.
They've got one of the best goalkeepers in the league, definitely.
That is my surprise.
Still got Douglas Luiz and McGinn. I heard they're linked with Anguissa from Fulham. If they get that, then they're actually struggling.
If they do, if those players all work well, top six, mate.
No, I disagree.
You disagree?
I honestly don't think.
Why?
I think Villa.
But those players, Junior.
No, I don't care. Like,
they're better than a lot of Tottenham and Arsenal players.
You don't think so?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of their players probably would start for us. Buendia, definitely.
Yeah, Buendia.
Well, Tyrone Mings would get in our defence.
Buendia would start for you.
Ings
would start for... Well, he wouldn't start. He would be in our squad.
Maybe Martinez and then that's it.
No, I think there's
no.
Douglas Luiz and McGinn are better than...
Us,
well, Douglas Luiz will get in. McGinn might get in.
Matty Cash would get in at right back.
Yeah, definitely.
I'd take him at right back as
well. But I just... I don't... Honestly, me personally, I think eighth.
But why is that? Is that the manager or do you just not... I don't have anything against...
I can't see him breaking top six.
I don't know.
But for them, another eighth place season or like a top 10 season would be good for them.
No, it's not about writing them off. I've seen them without Jack Grealish and Mark's point about bringing new players in.
And as well, were they like not rumoured with Todd Cantwell as well?
Yeah, that, 40 million.
That would be a good... Yeah, 40
million.
I can't...
They're spending too much. I know they just got the draft. Anyway.
Norwich's two best players.
My surprise... I'm going to go with something out of the box. And I don't think they're going to do extraordinarily well. But I just think they're going to play some nice football. Crystal Palace.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I completely forgot about Crystal Palace. They've made some good signings.
Yeah, and Patrick Vieira, see what he's like in the league and stuff.
Elise, Eze, he's injured, but when he got, he's still got Zaha as well.
Yeah. What if Vieira does better than Arteta?
Bring him in, innit?
Say no more. we are massively over time, so...
let me quickly do my quiz questions.
Yeah, and then we'll...
Up.
There's just so much to talk about. That's why, although football's not on, there's just been so many transfer rumors, big transfers.
Am I boring you, Mark? Am I boring you?
Me?
Yeah, just looking at your phone like you're not interested.
Yeah.
Well, listen, and there's four people here, and I'm seeing three phones in hand. Why you gotta pick me up?
All right. So there's been eight.
Because he loves
100 million pound plus signings in football. I want you to name more.
100.
No, well, this is pre-Lukaku. Yeah, and Lukaku, he's 100 million pounds
Mbappe
as well. So Lukaku's
Neymar,
just
Mbappe, Neymar.
Slow down, say again.
Mbappe, Neymar.
Mm-hmm. Coutinho.
Hazard. That's three.
Sancho.
Hazard, four.
No, Sancho's.
That's four. We've got.
Did you get my Coutinho one?
Yeah. Coutinho has four. So Neymar, Mbappe,
Dembele.
Hazard.
Dembele.
Yeah, Dembele has five. We've got three more.
100 million?
Well, Jack Grealish.
That's six. There's two more.
Gareth Bale wasn't 100 million. He was 80, wasn't he?
Oh,
yeah. You got the number 50 shirt at Real Madrid.
Yeah, I did see that.
Anyway, back onto the
who's that?
Gareth Bale.
Oh, mad.
Yeah.
So we got 6 out of 8. Just to speed it up, just give us a little like.
They're both in La Liga.
Obviously.
Suarez. You went for 60.
75. Yeah.
70.
Griezmann. And one more. One more.
Probably at Barcelona as well.
This player is also linked to Griezmann.
Linked to Griezmann?
What do you mean? Oh, what?
French. Oh! Joao Felix.
Yeah, he said it. Joao Felix, yeah.
Wow, he went 100 million.
He was 113 million. And last question I have is the top 10, Jack Grealish is now the most expensive player ever been bought by an English team.
Isn't he also the most expensive British player?
Well, I mean, yeah, English players. Sorry, these are English. So the most expensive English players of all time. Jack Grealish is number one. I want you to name the next nine.
Sterling. Just specifically English.
English players.
Sterling.
That's two.
Ben White,
that's three.
John Stones.
Maguire.
Mm-hmm.
Sancho.
Yep. You've got five now.
Yeah, that's good. Five now. I can't think.
How many?
What can I think?
How many?
You got Grealish, Maguire. You say Sancho?
Walker? Yeah, Walker?
Sancho. Yes, Kyle Walker's in there.
Yeah. Good shout.
Grealish, Maguire, Sancho, White, Sterling, Stones, Walker. You got one, two, three more.
What numbers are they on the list?
You got someone who's six, you got nine and ten. So these are two players who bought by Man United and two from Chelsea.
Oh, Wan-Bissaka,
and there's two more.
Oh, yeah.
Ross
50.
Barkley?
No. A player who's an absolute waster at Chelsea.
And that could be anyone.
What, Loftus-Cheek?
No. He plays in the same position as Loftus-Cheek. So if I take a sip from that bottle, what am I doing?
Drink water. Oh, my God. Yeah, he was like 40 million.
And then one more.
What's this, number 10?
Oh, Chilwell.
Chilwell.
Oh, yeah. 40 M's, isn't it?
The full list, Grealish, Maguire, Sancho, White, Sterling, Wan-Bissaka, Stones, Walker, Chilwell, drink water.
Drink water was how much?
English tax.
And how much? But how much was Luke Shaw then?
Luke Shaw was 28 or something. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because you can't remember, that was so long ago.
Yeah,
I thought it might have been Ross Barkley. How much was he?
No, he was only signed for 15 million. For Chelsea, yeah.
Right, I thought it was 40.
Mm. Listen, I'm slapping 40 M's down on Ross Barkley.
They've done worse. Yeah. Drink water, bro.
Yeah.
Drink.
All right. I just won the league, though. To be fair.
With who?
Leicester.
Oh, I thought you said just won a league like last season.
Oh, no. I don't, mate. He was on holiday for the whole of last season.
Yeah. All right. Is there anyone who wants to say anything else?
Not at all. Just looking forward to the Premier League coming back.
So we got Brentford, Friday. Arsenal on Friday, and then a lovely fixture of Saturday and Sunday fixtures.
Did you say Arteta out? Well,
that's
agree
what
with
you'll
that
be
sentiment.
Hearing if you guys lose, but
we'll see you on the
people
next
were saying Arteta out after the Tottenham game anyways.
I know, let's just before we end, are we gonna have like, if you lose on Friday, are you gonna be all depressed on Tuesday?
Yeah.
I think I would have snapped out of it by then.
No. Because yeah. I remember last season, you were depressed. Like 50% of our episodes, you were pretty depressed.
It's because we were losing every week.
We were losing every week.
Like, we lost six home games on a trot, and I still had a bit of energy.
Mark, think
no,
about
you
it.
You were depressed as well. Stop lying.
Mark, think about it, yeah? Like, you're going to face a newly promoted club.
Are you at home?
No, I really like their manager's charisma, by the way. I think.
Yeah, I like him.
But
if you're going to lose 2-0 to charisma.
You're going to Norwich, yeah?
Charisma and vibes.
Are you going to Norwich?
Am I going to Norwich?
No, not you personally. But
yeah, we're going away.
Are you expected to win or lose that game?
Well, we're expected to win.
Yeah, so my expectation is you should never lose.
We're at different levels in terms of...
Yeah, no, I know. But what I'm saying is you should never expect to lose against a newly promoted team.
Absolutely. But... Yeah, well,
my opinion.
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely.
So
but
if we do this lose, Brentford team's I will
quite
be
dangerous.
Depressed.
This Brentford team's quite dangerous. Nothing. And they've got this type of... Half of that Norwich squad have probably played in the Prem before.
No, but it's nothing,
you've got to win. I
it's
agree.
Nothing against Brentford. Or, in fact, Leeds lost.
You should be
anyone.
Winning. Absolutely.
But that's what I'm saying. We should be winning. Anyway.
I think
we'll probably lose that.
All right, so we'll see you on the next exciting episode, or we'll talk about that later. I'm just going to give us a round for a round.
Yeah.
Come on.
All right, see you later. Sports Social Podcast Network.